All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Zayin Ches. We have a beautiful, beautiful daf of Gemara today. So we'll say we made some good headway because we had a short Amud Aleph yesterday. So we are picking up on Ayin Ches 78a, and we are picking up 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines down from the bottom. So says the Gemara, Elohadu Amud Rava, Zebona Av, Komakum Shine'e Marseh, Eino Elohu Tiesakan. So we'll say, if you remember again, Rava had a statement yesterday, and Rava said that whenever the Torah says the word seh, that's what's called the binyan av. So we'll remember, what's a binyan av? A binyan av is a paradigm. Whenever the Torah says the word seh, that is a paradigm to teach you that what? To teach you that seh only means seh, and doesn't mean kilayim, doesn't mean anything that's born of a crossbreeding. So the Gemara says, Lamai Hilchasa. So what exactly are the ramifications of that particular statement? Ila Kachim, if you say it's for Kachim, in other words, that it's teaching me that you can't only use a set, you can't use a crossbred animal for karbanos. So we'll say, we already know that. The Hejik Sibhu, Shor O Kesef. The Pasuk will say, when talking about karbanos, says you shall bring a Shor or a Kesef, Prat Likilayim, that comes to exclude a crossbred animal. E lemeiser. If you want to say ultimately, it's referring to meiser behemo, and it says that a crossbred animal is not subject to the laws of meiser behemo. Then tachas yalif mikachim. It will say ultimately again, we have gzir shavav tachas that we learn from kachim. Karbanos e lebachar. It will say so again. If you want to say that it's talking to, that's telling us that a crossbred animal does not have kedushas bechar, then havara yalif mi meiser. But we have gzir shava of havara from meiser inami. But the other possibility is inami nidme amritlo. But the other possibility is if you've taught me that a nidme. But remember, a nidme is a mutated animal. So we learned this yesterday. Not mutated that it has a deformity, but mutated that it looks different than its parents. So you have an animal that is a relatively, it's a normal looking animal, but lamaisa again just looks different than its parents. So if you told me that a nidme is not good, dechsev ach bechor shar atche hu shar ubechor shar. The Rebbe says, remember, it says when talking about bechor behema, so kedushas bechor. So it says ach bechor shar. We learn from there until the parent is a shar and the bechor is a shar. Kilayim ibay. So we'll say if you're telling me that a nidme. So a nidme, remember, if you tell me that a mutated animal, I'm using that word mutated because that's the word that Rashi was using. But lamais, again, you understand mutation sounds like it has some kind of deformity. So no deformity, just looks different. So if you tell me that such an animal like that does not have kiddushas bechor, then Abosai does it. It goes without saying that a kilayim animal doesn't have kiddushas bechor either. Why Abosai? Because remember, the nidme, as much as there's a mutation, lamaisa what? It is the pure offspring of kosher animals. So if you're telling me that a nidme animal that comes from two kosher parents at the end of the day does not have kedushas bechor, does not have firstborn sanctity, then it would go without saying that a kilayim animal does not have firstborn sanctity either. Ella ki itmar derava leinyan peter hamar. Rather, I will say, so understand, we're still trying to do the same thing. Rava made a statement, and Rava said, wherever the Torah says se means what? Se means se, to exclude any type of crossbred animal. So we're trying to figure out what is the application of Rava's statement. Rather, says the Gemara, when Rava made his statement, he meant it by Peter Hamor. Rava said, what's the case of Peter Hamor? The halacha is that, interestingly enough, although firstborn sanctity is normally reserved for kosher animals, there is one exception to that rule, and that is a donkey, right? A firstborn donkey has firstborn sanctity. Now, what do you do with a firstborn donkey? So you could do one of two things. You could redeem it with a sheep, or you could break its neck. Those are the two options with the firstborn donkey. So we'll say when it comes, therefore, again, to when it comes to Rava, rather, when it comes to Rava, steam Rava's to Petra Hamar. What happened with Petra Hamar? Kiddisnan. So we'll say, when redeeming ultimately a peter chamor, so you can't redeem a peter chamor not with an eagle, a calf, not with a chayo, a non-domesticated animal, not with an animal that's been shechted, not with an animal that's trefa, and not with kilayim. Now, we'll say, now when we say kilayim over here, so Rashi understands mishnei b'nei behemo. So for example, a kilayim would be like the offspring of a lamb and a goat. a lamb and a goat. So you can't use that for pinyon peter chamor below bekoi. We'll say koi is another interesting animal. So it's also some type of mixture of species. With Rabbi Elaz, so we'll say therefore again, the Gemara is saying over here, this is where Rava's statement comes into play. Because even you cannot go ahead and be poda, you can't go ahead and redeem a firstborn donkey with a kilayim, with a mixed breed animal. Why? Because the Torah uses the lashon of seh, that you may redeem the donkey with a seh. And Rava says, whenever the Torah says seh comes to exclude what? A kilayim, a mixed breed animal. So Ulu Rabbi Elazar demati bekilayim. Supposed to listen to this, but yet there's the sheet of Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar holds that you can redeem a peter chamor, firstborn donkey, with kilayim, this nan, because Rabbi Elazar, we learned, Rabbi Elazar matir bekilayim, but yet Rabbi Elazar holds that you can go ahead and redeem a firstborn donkey with a mixed breed animal. Why? Mipnei shehu seh, because Lamaisa, again, he holds that at the end of the day, that the mixed breed animal, which Rabbi Elazar in this case is the offspring of a lamb and a goat, satisfies the criteria of seh. So Lamai Hilchasa, Sabasa, according to Rabbi Elazar, so then what would be the ramification of Rava's statement? Sabasa, remember, the goal of the Gemara here is quite simple. Rava made a statement that wherever the Torah says seh comes to exclude a crossbred animal. We're trying to figure out, Rava, thank you for the statement. Where does it apply? So the Gemara is now suggesting is it applies by pidyon peter chamor, redeeming a firstborn donkey. That since the Torah says seh, you can't redeem a firstborn donkey with a crossbred animal. That's fine, except according to Rabbi Elazar, who holds that you can redeem a donkey with a firstborn donkey with a crossbred animal. If that's the case, according to Rabbi Elazar, who holds that you can redeem a donkey with a crossbred animal, where does he plug in Rava's statement? To which the Gemara answers, listen to this. Rabbi Elazar will say, when is Rava's statement in effect? When ultimately you have a tame animal that was born to a tahor animal. Rabbi will say, v'iburo min hatame. So we'll say, according to Rabbi Elazar, Rava's statement would come up in the following case. A kosher animal that has been impregnated by a non-kosher animal, and the offspring is a non-kosher animal. So we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. L'tamei shenol laminatar, para sheyalda sus v'aviv sus. A cow gives birth to a horse, and the father, meaning the father of the animal, is a horse. So a cow is impregnated by a horse and gives birth to a horse. Or rachel sheyalda chazir, or for that matter, again, a lamb that gave birth to a pig, v'aviv chazir, and the father is a pig. The aser ba'achila. The Rabbi will say, ultimately, again, such offspring will be asr ba'achila. Just by the way, you should know, this is actually a fascinating discussion. Why is this a fascinating discussion? You know, Rabbi will say that one of the most interesting discussions in general in halacha, let's say, for example, in contemporary halacha, which the Gemara deals with, is, let's say you have a surrogacy case. Who's the mother? Who's right? Who's the mother? Is it the egg mother or is it the gestational mother? So it's interesting. The Gemara is dealing with that a little bit over here in this case, because what's happening? You have a cow that becomes pregnant from a horse. So what's the shayla? Now again, in this case it's a little bit different because lemaisa again, the egg mother and but the idea over here is you have a kosher animal having an inside of it a non-kosher animal and gives birth then to what? Gives birth then to a non-kosher animal. So the shayla is, do we say that anything that comes from a kosher animal is going to be kosher, or do we essentially look at the paternity of the child and what? And also look at the child itself. The paternity is non-kosher, plus the actual child that's been born is non-kosher. So listen to this. Rabbi Elazar holds that lemaisa, again, that Rabba's statement of l'tamei shenolad min hatahar, v'iburo min hatamei, ultimately, Rabbi Elazar is what? It's that according to Rabbi Elazar, this is what Rava's statement is coming to exclude. Rava's statement is coming to exclude this particular case of l'tamei shenova min hatar ve'ibura min hatamei. They both say that such an animal is classified as a non-kosher animal. This would be called a mixed breed animal that would not be kosher. They both say not kosher for whatever ramification, not kosher for achila, or not kosher for any other use for which you would need a kosher animal. According to Rabbi Lozer, that's what Seh comes to exclude. The case of a kosher animal impregnated by a non-kosher animal that gives birth to a non-kosher animal. We'll say, just by the way, you should know, the reason why you'll say to yourself, well, what's the chiddush? If a cow becomes pregnant by a horse and gives birth to a horse, of course it's not kosher. But so the reason why that's not so poshut is because in general we say that dover, anything that comes from a kosher animal, usually has the status of what? Of a kosher animal. So by definition, the Havamina would have been that offspring is also kosher. Kamash on Rabbi Lozer says that Seh teaches me that it's not kosher. I'm sorry? It's Kilayim, correct. It's Kilayim. That's exactly it. Udilok Rabbi Yoshua. And Rabbi said this does not fit the view of Rabbi Yoshua. Dear Rabbi Yoshua, because Rabbi Yoshua says, Misek Savim V'Seizim Nafkale Ache Aviv Keves V'Imo Kivsa. I'm sorry. So I'll say fine. So this is not like Rabbi Yoshua, because Rabbi Yoshua ultimately learns this from Sek Savim and Seizim. He learns this to teach me that what? That an animal is only considered to be a bona fide kosher animal, only if its father is a keves and his mother is a kivsa. Fine. So asks the Gemara. So just so you understand where we are right now. So Rava makes us, we're all focusing on Rava's statement. Rava, wherever the Torah says Seh, it's coming to exclude a mixed breed animal, kilayim animal. We're trying to figure out where is Rava's statement impactful? Where does it have a meaning? The Gemara goes through the list. But then Rabbi Lazar says it has a meaning by Pidyon Petach Hamor, by redeeming a firstborn donkey. The Torah tells us that Rabbi Lazar says, the Gemara says, it applies by Pidyon Petach Hamor, that you can't use a crossbred animal to go ahead and redeem a firstborn donkey. But according to Rabbi Lazar, who says that you can, what does he use Rava's statement for? He uses Rava's statement to teach me that what? That if you have a kosher animal impregnated by a non-kosher animal and has the offspring of a non-kosher animal, lamaisa, that animal does not have a kosher status. We learn that out from Seh. Seh asks the Gemara Bose a simple question. Utahora mitamei mima abra. So we'll say, so this is all presupposing that a kosher animal could become pregnant from a non-kosher animal. Is that true? Is that true? Meaning, could a cow become pregnant from a horse? To which the Gemara says, yes, the kaimalon, Amud Beis, the Kaimalon, the Ovid Mikolot, Kereb Shimon. We both said, listen to this. To which the Gemara answers that the case of a kosher animal becoming pregnant from a non-kosher animal can happen, but not the way we framed it. In other words, we both say, a cow is not going to become pregnant from a horse. But you know what? This does come up in a Shita of Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon has a fascinating Shita. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Tap Rashi in Ayin Ches Amud Beis. Sorry? No. So?
Personal comment.
Oh, okay. Share it. What was it?
No.
Okay. says Rashi. So what happens? The Ovid Mikalot Kerbi Shimon. Kalot Parsos. We're going to say Tap Rashi. Kalot Parsos of Klutos Vinolot Minatar. For Rabbi Shimon Karli Timur. Rabbi, listen to this. Rabbi Shimon has a fascinating Shita in Bechoros. And Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Osai, that if you have a technically kosher animal that does not have cloven hooves, that animal is a treif animal. Now, again, to be clear, not a treifa, right? A treifa is a little bit different because a treifa is an animal that has some type of blemish from which it'll die imminently, but a treif animal. So we'll say, listen to this. So according to Rabbi Shimon, if you have a cow, for example, that's born without cloven hooves, that cow is a treif animal. That cow is not a kosher animal. So we'll say, so Rabbi Shimon will say like this. Now, therefore, so Rashi, we can finish up Rashi, says, B'sanya b'choros, Rabbi Shimon Omer, gamal shnei pamin. So the Torah says gamal twice. Echad gamal hanola min agimala. One is to teach you that a camel that's born from a camel is not kosher. But echad gamal hanola min apara. And I both say one is to teach you that even a camel that's born from a cow. Vafilu ibarto min atar mishar gamal kasa Rabbi Shimon. So I both say what's the case of a camel that's born from a cow? It's very simple. I both say that if a cow ultimately is born without cloven hooves, then what? That cow is no different than a camel. In other words, that cow is not kosher. We'll say, now this happens to be a subject of machlokes in Bechoros, and the other opinions ultimately, Rabbi Yoshua disagrees with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yoshua says, no, that a cow, for example, that's born without cloven hooves is a kosher animal. is a totally kosher animal. The fact that it's missing one of the simanim, that's a deformity. But the mice, it's a kosher animal. So we'll say, so therefore again, Rabbi Shimon will say something very interesting. Rabbi Shimon will say that the case that we are referring to over here of a kosher animal that is impregnated by a non-kosher animal, and so to speak, gives birth to a non-kosher animal, would exist according to Rabbi Shimon. Because it was the way that would come up is how, is a cow, I'll say a regular kosher cow, that is impregnated by another cow, by a bull. This cow is impregnated by a bull. Yeah, okay, good. That was a very definitive one. All right, so you both said, but the bull, let's say, doesn't have cloven hoofs. If that's the case, again, according to Rabbi Shimon, that cow will be a treif animal and then gives birth to a cow that has uncloven hooves as well. In that case, Rabbi said that would be a kosher animal impregnated by a non-kosher animal that gives birth to a kosher animal. Again, according to Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi said, therefore, according to Rabbi Lazar, that would be a case of kilayim, of forbidden mixtures, and such an animal ultimately, again, would not fall into the category of sev, a kosher animal, with all of its different ramifications. Fine. So we'll say, so that's the end of Rava's statement. Boy, Rava. We'll say, now we have another kashus. Rava asked, this is fascinating. Hari alai ola v'hifrish shar. So we'll listen to this case. Reuben goes ahead and says, Hare alai ola. We'll say, Ayin Chesma Beis 78b, second line down. So Reuben makes a statement. He says, Hare alai ola. I'm hereby committing myself to bringing a carbon ola. Vehifrish shar. And Reuben set aside a shar, an ox, to bring as ola. We'll say, now you understand, for an ola, you can bring any variety of animals. The most expensive animal you can bring for an ola is a shar. So Reuben says, I hereby pledge upon myself to bring an ola, and he sets aside a shar. What happens? Uba achar v'gamav. So we'll say, watch this. I come and I steal Reuben's shar. So what happens? Now I want to be a Baal Tshuva. So mi patar ganav nafshe bekeves. L'rabbanon ba'ola sa'of l'rabba l'azah ben Azariah. So we'll say, here's the shayla. The shayla is, can I go ahead and satisfy the criteria of returning the lost object if I return to Reuben another animal that is fit for use as an ola, but what? The animal is less expensive. Right? So we'll say either according to the Rabbanon, it would be a lamb, or according to Belazar, it would be a bird. This non, because we learned, Hare alai ola, if a person says, I hereby commit myself to bring an ola, so we'll say the interesting part in this case is, I'm committing myself to bring an ola, but what information didn't I include? What type of animal? So what happens if a person makes an open-ended statement and says, I hereby commit myself to bring an ola? What kind of animal are they committed to bringing? So the Gemara says, Machlokes. So, Hare alai ola, Yavi keves. So the Rabbanon say you have to bring a lamb. Rabbi Elazar ben Azayu omer, Yavi tor o ben yona. Rabbi Elazar ben Azayu says you bring a pigeon or a turtle dove. So we'll say, I just want to point out, the Rabbanon and Rabbi Elazar ben Azayu are actually not arguing. What they're talking about over here is their machlokes is like a minag hamakom. Just like, what do people mean? In the Rabbanon's locale, when a person said, Hare alai ola, if they made an unqualified statement, they were usually referring to a sheep. In Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's locale, if a person made an unqualified statement, they're referring to a bird. So we'll say, here, the shayla is, my. So in this case, remember, Reuben said, Hare alai ola, I'm bringing an ola. He set aside a shar, an ox. I steal the ox. Can I make restitution for the theft by giving him back either a sheep according to the Rabbanon or a bird according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? Because after all, mi aminan shem ola, kabila iluya, odilma. So we'll say, so on one hand, you can say, look, Reuben, you pledged to bring an ola, and what happens, right? And what am I doing? I'm giving you back an animal fit for an ola. And therefore, again, I'm returning, so to speak. I mean, meaning the idea over here is, according to the first Havamina, is I didn't steal a shar. What did I steal? No. An ola. So what's my obligation for restitution? An ola. So what does it matter if I'm giving you back a shar ola? I'm giving you back a bird ola. Odilma, matzi amar le ana mitzvah min amuvcher ba'ina le'me'eved. So we'll say, on the other hand, Reuven could say, look, listen, I went ahead and separated out a shar because I wanted to go ahead and do a mitzvah min amuvcher. I want to do the mitzvah in the most beautiful way. Therefore, if you want to make restitution, you have to give me back a shar. So we'll say, here's the shayla. So basar di'ibaya, so after the shayla was asked, Hader Pashta. So we'll say, listen to this, by the way, is a fascinating shayla. So what do I do with this? And we'll say, you understand, the reason why this is so fascinating is because on one hand, what did I steal? I stole an ola. but I also stole the specifically designated animal. So to make restitution, is it enough that I give back an ola, or do I have to give back the type of animal I stole? So Hadar Pash Basu, Debai Hadar Pash, after the question was asked, it was answered, Ganav Pater Atzmo Bekeves Rabbanon Ba'ola Sa'ov Rabbalazza Ben Azariah. Wow. So as I said, after the question was asked, it was answered that the halacha is Rabbosai that the ganav has the ability to go out and make restitution by returning any animal that is fit for an ola. According to the Rabbanan, he can even return a sheep. According to Rabbosai ben Azariah, he can even return a bird.
He doesn't know how
to. I'm sorry?
He doesn't know the difference.
Nope. That's the Gemara says. As the Gemara says, pretty amazing. So the Gemara says the following: Rav Acha Breid Rav Ika Masni Vei Behedja. So we'll say Rav Acha Breid Rav Ika went ahead and taught this ruling explicitly. Amar Rava Hare Alai Ola VeHifrish Shar. So we'll say if a person says, "I hereby obligate myself to go ahead and bring an Ola," and what? And he went ahead and he separated out a shar. Uba Acha VeGanvo and. Someone else comes along and what? Steals it. Pater atzmo bekeves rabbanon uba'olas ha'ofer b'lazza ben Azariah. The ganav has the ability to go ahead and exempt himself or make restitution by simply giving back, according to the rabbanon, a sheep, or according to b'lazza ben Azariah, has the ability just to give back a bird. And b'lazza, I'm going to quote you from the Rambam. It's a very dramatic halacha. So the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes, in Hilchos Maaser Karbanos, Perek Gimel. Is it Perek Gimel? No, I'm sorry, Perek Tes Zayin. Chapter 16, Halacha Zayin. Listen to this. Amar, Hare Alai Ola, Vehifrish Shar, Vinignav. So we'll say, a person says, Reuven says, I hereby commit myself to bring an Ola. And what happens? He separated out a Shar. And the Shar was stolen. Pote Atzmo Beseh. We'll say the halacha is that the ganav has the ability to exempt himself or to make restitution by giving back a seh. The Rambam quotes the seh, doesn't quote the bird, but the idea, remember, as I mentioned before, Rabbi Lazar and the Rabbana are not arguing. There's just different minagam makom. So, however, listen to this. We'll say, Amar, shor zeh vidamav alai, ola, hukba v'imnifsa lo yavi b'damav elashar. So we'll say, the Rambam does bring down another case, if he says, ultimately again, this shar and its value are to me an ola. So we'll say, that would be the case where the ganav would owe the difference in the value to hekdish. So we'll say, you hear the difference in the cases? So the difference in the cases is, number one, if he just says, Hare alai ola, and he puts himself obligation ola, and he happens to separate out a shar, the halacha is, if the ganav stole a shar, he can make restitution ultimately again with a keves or with a bird. But if Reuven said that the shar and its value are an ola, then lamaisa, the ganav owes the full value of the ola, the full value of the shar ola, ultimately to the Beis HaMikdash. And even if he gives back a more inferior animal, he's still going to owe that difference in value, ultimately again to Hekdish. Fine. So the Gemara says the following. Fine. So we'll say, so again, and that indeed is Halacha L'maisa. So we'll say, so Rashi points out over here also the following. Rashi says, Ganav Pater Atzmo, Da Tashlumen De Baile Mechayiv, Vario Tzio Yode Nidro, Vafsido De Hekdish Mifter, So we'll say, remember again, in basic Hilchos Geneva, so remember, we saw this in yesterday's daf, that the halacha is, in general for Geneva, you're only chayiv when you steal from a person, you're not chayiv when you steal from Hekdish. Now, again, this is not to be confused with Me'ila, where you misappropriate an item that belonged to Hekdish. That's something different. So therefore, again, in this particular situation, that's why in this case, you don't have to make up the value to Hekdish. The only time you have to make up the value to Hekdish is when, Rabosai, is when the Maisa Reuven said, I hereby pledge the ox and its value as an Ola. Fine. So we'll say that indeed is Halacha L'Maisa, says the Mishnah. Machra chutz me'echa mimea. So we'll say, now we're going to get into an interesting case. Let's say, so remember, this is a case of where I'm stealing and selling. So I've stolen the object, and now I'm selling it. But when I steal it, when I sell it except for 100th of its 100th ownership interest. So in other words, I sell the classic case of Geneva and Mechira is where what? I steal an object, and I sell it in totality. In this case over here, I'm retaining 1/100th of ownership. As we both said, the 1/100th is just a hyperbolic statement. The idea is, I'm not totally selling it. I'm retaining some level of ownership for myself. Oh, shahaisel abo shotfus, or abosai, I'm stealing ultimately again. Before I stole this, this was an object that was owned jointly by me and my partner, and I stole it from my partner. I stole my partner's chelik. Or, so we'll say, in both of these cases, the common denominator here is what? The common denominator here is, this is not a full act of theft and sale. Now, the reason why, look at Rashi just a moment. O shahaisel abo shotfus, kovdim shaganbo, lo karina veo mecharo kulo bisura. So you said the issue over here is in both of these cases, there is not a fully bona fide legal sale. Why? In case number one, because I didn't sell the full ownership interest. And in case number two, why? Because I owned 50% of the item. So it's not a full umacharo. Similarly, ashochit dinisnav la biyado. So I'll say similarly again, if I'm shechting the animal, and what happens? It becomes an avail in my hands. In other words, I botched the shechita. Or, for example, hanocher v'hama'akir. We will say nocher is a person goes ahead and splits the animal open lengthwise. Instead of doing a proper shechita, a person splits the animal open lengthwise, which, of course, again, also is an invalid shechita. Ma'akir means a person rips out the simonim, the kun and the veshet, the windpipe and the esophagus, instead of cutting it. So we'll say these are all invalid shechitos. In all of these cases, Rabbi will say, Mishayim tashlome kefel, Ve'in l'mashayim tashlome arba v'chamisha. In all of these cases, I have to pay kefel, but I do not pay the 4 and 5 times penalty payment. So Rabbi will say, so the reason for this, just to go back, in the first two cases, the reason I don't pay arba v'chamisha is because this is not a bona fide sale. The only thing I pay arba v'chamisha is when there's a complete sale. In case number one, it's not a complete sale because I retained an ownership interest. In case number two, it's not a complete sale. Why? Because I was a partner in this object and therefore already owned 50% of it. I will say in the second part of the Mishnah is teaching me that I'm only chayiv for tvicha if it's a proper shechita. Now, I will say, this is not to be confused with the shechita of Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon holds the what? That, oh, you can only chayiv for a shechita ruya. Shechita ruya is different. Shechita ruya means a shechita that results in your ability to consume the animal. That's not what the Mishnah is saying. I don't have to be able to consume it, but the shechita does have to be a proper shechita. Meaning, you can have a situation where you're not allowed to eat the animal, but the shechita is still a proper shechita. So, for example, the paradigmatic example of that is kadshim, right? Where I go ahead and it's a proper shechita, but I can't eat the animal. The Mishnah would say in that case, you'd be chayiv arba v'chamisha. Rabbi Shimon says he can't. The issue in the Mishnah is there is no act of shechita happening. Either you're tearing the open animal lengthwise, you're ripping out the simanim instead of cutting them, you're botching the shechita. In that case, the Mishnah paskins, and we'll see why you're not chayiv arba v'chamisha, you're not chayiv 4 and 5 times penalty payments for that. Fine. So says the Gemara. So we'll say, what is the case, in the first case of the Mishnah, where a person steals the animal, but says, I'm selling you the animal, except for 1/100th of the animal. What exactly, what is the thief retaining for himself? Omer Rav, Rav says, chutz midavra hanitar imo b'shchita. So we'll say, Rav says that the only time that withholding 1/100th of the animal is a meaningful shiur, a meaningful withholding, that would ultimately, again, essentially may not make it a bona fide mechira, which would then go ahead and exempt the ganav from paying arba v'chamisha, is only if the thief withholds something that would become permitted with the shechita of the animal. So, for example, Rashi says, hanitar imo kegon mibisaro. So what's according to Rav, the only type of shear, the only type of withholding that would ultimately again diminish from the sale would be if the thief withholds some of the flesh, some of the meat, something that becomes permitted with the shechita. Levi, Amar Levi says, chutz migizosel, even if he withholds the shearings for himself, we'll say, then what? That's not called a full sale. And if it's not called a full sale, then what? Then what? Then the thief is potter from arba v'chamisha. The chin tanya b'masnisa, so to us we learned in the braisa, chutz migizo seha. If the ganav says, I'm selling you the animal, except the shearings, l'maisa, that is a shear, the thief is withholding part of the animal for himself, therefore that's not a fully bona fide sale, and if it's not a bona fide sale, the thief is not chayv arba v'chamisha. Meisve, so where is the kasha? Meisve, machro chutz miyada, chutz miragla, chutz mikarno, chutz migizo seha. So the case over here is, if the ganav sells the animal, and he says to the purchaser, I'm selling you this animal, but not its shearings, or I'm selling it to you, but not its foreleg, or not its hind leg, or not its horn. In all of these cases, Rabbi say, then what? Then the halacha is, Eino Meshalim Tashlumei Arba V'Chamisha. But in all of these cases, then the Maase, again, you don't have to pay the 4 and 5 time penalty payments. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Dover Hama'akev B'Shchita Eino Meshalim Tashlumei Arba V'Chamisha. V'Sheino Ma'akev, V'Sheino Ma'akev B'Shchita, Meshalim Arba V'Chamisha. So Rabbi say, Rabbi's opinion is, anything that is Ma'akev in the Shchita. Rabbi say, what does it mean, anything Ma'akev in the Shchita? Any part of the animal, that if it wasn't there, would invalidate the Shechita, then if the thief retains that for himself, it's not a valid sale. And if it's not a valid sale, then what? Then Lemaisa again, the thief would be parted from Arba V'Chamisha. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Hama'akiv B'Shechita, Dover, Shenitol Heimena, Na'as is Bona Ve'le Mechayim. We'll say something that if it were removed from the animal, the animal ultimately, again, would become a trefa. Rashi is the word nevela, but trefa. Now, nevela means also kedai. It could die. For example, it could go in veshet, okana, like the windpipe or the esophagus, or ultimately, again, the liver or the intestines. So, as I say, if the thief, according to Rebbe, if the thief goes ahead and sells the animal, but withholds something that is necessary for the life of the animal, then lamaisa what? And lamaisa, at the end of the day, the thief would be pata arba v'chamisha. Reb Shimon Alazar says, chutz mikarno eino mishalim tashlumi arba v'chamisha. Reb Shimon says, if the thief sells the animal and he withholds the horn for himself, then the mice again, he does not pay arba v'chamisha. Chutz mikizo seha. However, again, if he sells the animal with the exception of its shearings, in other words, he withholds the shearing for himself, mishalim tashlumi arba v'chamisha. Ultimately, again, he pays 4 and 5 time penalty payments. So bishlam ala Levi ki Tana Kamo. So we'll say, I understand Levi sheet. The Levi holds like the Tana Kamo. El Rav kiman. Yeah, look, El Rav kiman amri Rav. So we'll say, but who does Rav hold like? The Amar, we'll say, Rav was of the opinion who said, chutz mi davar nitron b'shchita. That Lamaisa, again, Lamaisa, if the thief withholds something that becomes permitted through the shchita, that's called a withholding in the sale, and would exempt the thief from arba v'chamisha. So who does Rav hold like? So he holds ki hai tana. He holds like the flying tana. This is Sanya. Reb Shimon Alazar Omer, machra chutz miyada, v'chutz miragla, ino mashayim tushim arba v'chamisha. Now, also, this is Reb Shimon Alazar says, that if the thief sells the animal, but withholds the foreleg or the hind leg for himself, the halacha is, he doesn't pay arba v'chamisha. Chutz mikarno, chutz migizol sehel, if he sells the animal but withholds the horn or withholds the shearings, mishalim tashlomi arba v'chamisha. And we'll say in that case he will go ahead and pay arba v'chamisha. Michael Mephthagir will say, so what is the nature of the machlokas? Meaning, so at the end of the day, what's going on over here? So we have all these different shitos. What is the machlokas? Tana kama sabar, so Tana kama holds, utivacho, kulo ba'inon, umacharo, kulo ba'inon. So we'll say Tana kama says that, look, The same way that when you shecht the animal, so shechita is on the entire animal, right? There's no such thing as a partial shechita. Shechita is on the entire animal. So to again, Rabbo say umecharo, when you sell the animal, kulo b'inan. Rabbo says it's a very important halacha. Necharo teaches me that the sale is only valid if what? If you sell the animal in its entirety. The Rebbe Sava, Rebbe on the other hand holds, utvacho midi dahavi betvicha da fuke midi dalohavia betvicha. Rabbi on the other hand holds that what Rabbi was saying. That tvacho teaches me that what? So tvacho teaches me something that is subject to tvicha to come to exclude something that ultimately again is not subject to tvicha, and therefore again macharot. So we'll say, in other words, Rabbi says that just like tvacho doesn't refer to every part of the animal, there are only certain parts of the animal ultimately that become mutter through shechita. So to Rabbo say what? We say that same idea, that there are certain things that are not subject to tvicha. Whatever is not subject to tvicha is also not subject to mechira. Rabbo say, now what does it mean in a practical sense? And any part of the animal that does not go ahead and require shechita to permit it, according to Rebbe, those same parts are not subject to sale. What does that mean in a practical sense? Any part of the animal that does not require shechita if you withheld that part of the animal when you sold the animal to another, that would not compromise the sale, and you still would be chayiv for arba v'chamisha. So, for example, I will say on a very simple level. So, according to Rabbi, if you were to go ahead and say that I'm the guy of selling the animal except for the shearings, what would be the halacha? Well, since shearings are not something that are permitted through shechita, therefore, by definition, they need not be included in the mechira. But Rabbi Shimon Allah says, "Karna delo lemigzakaima havishir." So, Rabbi Shimon Allah says, something like a horn, which is not normally removed. Ultimately, again, since it's a part of the animal, if the thief withholds it and doesn't include it in the sale, ultimately that will invalidate the sale. Will invalidate the sale. The sale will be valid, but he won't be chayv arba v'chamisha. Gizoseh, but the shearings, the lamegos chayv, which we'll say, are fit to be shorn. Lo havishir. So we'll say, essentially, Rabbi Shimon Elazar will say, any part of the animal that there's a natural expectation that it's coming off of the animal, if the thief withholds that in a sale, will not go ahead and preclude his liability for arba v'chamisha. But any part of the animal that is expected to remain part of the animal, if the thief withholds that for himself, ultimately, again, would preclude arba v'chamisha. The idach tana de beir of Shimon Elazar suffer. And I will say the other opinion of Shimon Elazar says, yadav v'raglav v'tzrichi, we'll say, so for example, the legs of the animal, which require shechita, if the thief holds them back for himself in the sale, he does not include them in the sale. Therefore, again, I will say, because they are part of the shechita, therefore, if he holds them back in the sale, he won't be arba v'chamisha. I will say, for example, the horns and the shearings, which do not require shechita, lo havishir, if the thief withholds them for himself, it's not called a shear. It's ultimately not called the withholding of the sale, and therefore the thief will still pay arba v'chamisha. It says, one second. Now we have two conflicting opinions, both attributed to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, to which the Gemara says it's not a problem. Trei tanoi v'aliv Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Both at the end of the day, there is a machlokes on two different opinions, both about what Rabbi Shimon Elazar actually said. Final both say. So you see over here, the fundamental machlokes of both say is, here's what everybody's going to agree on, which is there are certain things which if a thief does not include in the sale, ultimately, again, it doesn't preclude the sale, but ultimately will exempt him from arba v'chamisha. Why? Because everyone will agree that in order to be chayav in arba v'chamisha, there has to be a full sale of the animal from the thief to a third party. The machlokes is what constitutes a full sale of the animal. If the thief retains part of the animal for himself, is that still called a full sale, which will trigger liability ultimately for arba v'chamisha? That's the machlokes. So what is it that if a thief withholds, ultimately undermines the fullness or totality of the sale? Tan Rabbanan, Hagonev, Hakitas v'esachigeres v'esasuma. So we'll say if a person steals, we'll say, so kitas is an animal that had an amputated limb. Or chigeres is a crippled animal. Or a sumah is a blind animal. V'chinagoni v'hemas ha-shutfin. Or we'll say, if somebody steals an animal that belongs to partners, chayiv. Ultimately, again, a person, the thief, will be chayiv arba v'chamisha. He'll be chayiv the 4 and 5 time penalty payments. V'shutfim shegan v'ptura. We'll say, interestingly enough, if partners steal from each other, then lamaise again they'll be potter. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because when you steal from, now potter from arba v'chamisha, when you steal from your partner, what's the issue? That's not a full act of theft. Why is it not a full act of theft? Because you own part of it. Vatanya, but we learned that shutzvin shegan v'chayavin. Yeah, Rabbi Osai, that what their partners that stole are chayiv. Amar av Nachman, it's not a kasha. Lo kasha. Kan b'shutav sheganav mechadero, kan b'shutav sheganav mi'alma. Supposed to listen to this. So if the shutav, if one partner stole from his other partner, that's where he's parted from arba v'chamisha. However, again, if two partners ultimately stole from someone else, that's when they will be chayiv arba v'chamisha. Eser, Rav raised kashya of Nachman, yachol shutav sheganav mechadero. I might have thought that one partner that steals from another partner. V'shutfin shagan v'yei chayavin. And I will say, partners that steal together from someone else should be chayiv arba v'chamisha. Talmud lomar utavacho kulo ba'inan v'leka. So I will say, but it doesn't work. Why? Because the pasuk says, utavacho, you shall slaughter it. Kulo ba'inan. I will say, at the end, kulo means that you need, it sounds like you need one person to do a complete act. So in case number one, it's not going to be a complete act. Why? Because the partner owns part of the stolen item. And in case number two, it sounds like it won't be a complete act. Why? Why? Because it's two people committing the act of theft and slaughter. Ela Amrav Nachman, lo kasha. Nachman says, it's not a kasha. Kan b'shutav shetavach l'das chaveiro. Kan b'shutav shetavach l'das chaveiro. Let's listen to this. When the shutav stole the animal with the agreement of his friend, with the agreement and knowledge of his friend, therefore, again, he's acting in the capacity as the friend's shaliach as well, and therefore there will be a liability of dalad vehei. Masha'inkein, when one partner is acting on behalf of the other partner without the consent of the other partner, then what? Then lemaisik and abosai, in that case, there will not be joint liability. Take a look at Rashi. Shotav shetavach l'das chaveiro, mishalmin bein shneihem. So abosai, if I steal the animal and I'm acting on behalf of me and my partner, then lemaisa, again, there will be an obligation of arba v'chamisha, di'ika otvacho kulo b'chiyuvo. Da'atoveh chai v'achelko, v'chaveir nami aso shaliach, v'har rabinon le'el di'eshliach l'dvar aveira. So we'll listen to this. Even though normally we say in shliach l'dvar aveira, but say we saw that this, that the case of arba v'chamisha, the stole or sale and slaughter of a stolen animal, is the exception to that rule, and there is shliach l'dvar aveira. So we'll say, when I'm acting on behalf of my shaliach, there will be an obligation of arba v'chamisha. But if I'm acting, ultimately, if I'm a shutav shetavach shlol das chaveiro, if I'm also at the end of the day, I'm acting on behalf of my friend, but my friend does not acting on his behalf, then in that case, I will say, what? There will not be an obligation of arba v'chamisha. Okay, we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Amirat Hashem with Boy Reb Yirmi Amirat Hashem tomorrow. Good morning, David. How are you? Good to see you.